Well, we're going to have a little message from Scripture, and I hope to keep it interesting for you. So I brought along a few magic tricks just to make a point, okay? They're not just frivolous magic tricks. They're meaningful magic tricks. But let me kind of set things up here. So there were there could have been 12, there could have been 90, but we think there were at least three wise men who saw a star in the sky. Now, these guys were astrologers, so they watched the skies, and somehow they pieced together the idea that this star announced the birth of the king of Israel, who would be the Messiah. So they went on a journey following this star, and because he would be born in Israel, they thought, let's go to Jerusalem. So they went to Jerusalem, and they asked the question, hey, where is the one born king of the Jews? Now, King Herod, not a good guy, all right? King Herod, bad guy. Jealous, super paranoid of anybody who might challenge his kingdom, he said, well, let me call together all the scholars, all the Jewish scholars, and they can look at the Old Testament prophecies to see where the king was supposed to be born. So he calls together all the scholars, and they look, and they go, oh, right here, in the Old Testament prophet Micah, 700 years earlier, he wrote that the king of Israel, the Messiah, when he was born, needed to be born in Bethlehem. So here's exactly what it says. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, quote, now this is what Micah wrote, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So they look at the scriptures and they go, oh, Old Testament prophet says Bethlehem is where he must be born. Now, here's what's interesting. The wise men, the scholars, and Herod all assumed some basic things. Number one, that God knows the future. Number two, that God, through the Hebrew prophets, wrote about the future. And three, that the Hebrew prophets predicted a lot of things about the coming Messiah. Herod was no true believer, but even he believed that the Old Testament scriptures prophesied about the Messiah. All right? Fulfilled prophecy is a fascinating subject, because here's what prophecy establishes. All right? When an Old Testament prophet wrote something in the Old Testament and it was fulfilled hundreds of years later, here are four things that establishes. Number one, that God is omniscient, that God knows everything. But I'm going to go even further. Not only does God know the future, number two, God is sovereign. He brings about the prophecy. All right? So God is omniscient, God is sovereign. Number three, that Scripture is inspired. In other words, it wasn't just written by men. It was written by men, but the Holy Spirit of God was behind the writing. Otherwise, how do you explain a prediction made hundreds of years before the fulfillment? So God is omniscient. God is sovereign in bringing things to pass. Scripture is inspired. And the fourth thing is this, that the identity of the Messiah will be revealed. Okay? That's why the wise men said, well, where's he going to be born? Oh, Bethlehem. The scriptures are inspired, and we'll know when the Messiah shows up because these Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled in him. In other words, we can be sure we got the right guy. All right? Now, so that's what prophecy is. Prophecy is when the Old Testament prophet writes something hundreds of years beforehand, and then Jesus comes and he fulfills that. Now, I said I was going to do some magic tricks to illustrate. Can I do a prophecy trick? A trick? I'm going to try to predict the future. And oh, look, some things over here. Okay. let's see here. I'm going to. In fact, is there anybody here that has never met me before? Oh, no, not you. Let's see. What's your name? Yeah.
Rose.
Rose, and we've never met. You don't have to be so happy about that, Rose. Part sermon, part stand-up act. Okay, so, Rose, I'm going to make a prediction, okay? All right. So here's my prediction. Huh? Oh, can you see it? Did you see it?
Yeah.
Rose, how good are your eyes? Why do they sell clear boards? I don't know. All right, so I'm going to put this face down over here, all right? And then, Rose, can you do me a favor? Can you just, you don't have to come up on stage, but maybe stand right there, okay? And then, so you must be related to somebody. Is it Billy over here?
No, it's Anna.
Anna?
And Lexi.
Oh, and Lexi. I know them.
I'm the grandmother.
You're the grandmother. Yes. Well, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Pastor Brian.
Nice to meet you.
Where do you hail from? Where do you live?
In North Aurora.
North Aurora. I've heard of that place. Okay. So, Rose, do you know this other Rose over here?
Oh, yes.
Okay. I know her too. What are the odds? Okay, so Rose, this is a book.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you take a look at that? I got that at the dollar store. That's where I get most of my theology. Okay, so what it is just a cheap novel. Okay, take a look through there. Make sure all the pages are different and it's not like some like trick book or something. Okay, they're all different.
I think so.
You think so? Okay.
Looks
different, right? All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I have a card. I'm just going to riffle down the edge like this, okay? And you just say stop whenever you want, and we'll stick it in there.
Stop.
There? Whoops, I'll do it again, all right?
Okay. Stop.
There. I'll put it right there, okay? So now, Rose, what I'm going to do, I'm going to have you look at the first word on that page. Can you see it?
Yes.
And can you memorize the page number, too? The page number? You got that?
Yes.
Okay. So you've got a word and a number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You take the book. All right. Now, here I made my prediction. See these spotlights? They're from behind. That's backlight. You got to watch backlighting. Backlighting will always get you. Okay. Now, so you picked a number or a page number. And you have a word. Now, how many pages are in that book? Take a look. You don't have to get it exact, Rose. Okay.
327.
327 pages, okay? And you riffled and you found up and you got one word. What was the word you thought?
Only.
Only?
Yes.
Do you know what I predicted?
Only.
Only. Look at that. Look at that. Only. Hey. Okay. Now, hold on. Hold on. Rose. You see that box over there?
Yes.
Okay. Now, not only did I predict the word, but I predicted the page you would pick. And here's how I predicted the page. I actually put the page in that box. The very page that you are going to turn to page, what was it, 132? Go ahead. 132, I want you to find the page. What's the matter?
It's not there.
Show everybody. Show everybody what's going on here.
It's ripped.
It's ripped. Page 132 is ripped. Okay, Rose, nothing up my sleeve, okay? I want you to open that box. What's in there?
155.
No. What is she, a comedian? No, look at that. What page is that?
132.
132. And look at that. Not only is it page 130, is that an exact fit?
Yes, it is. Wow.
Look at that. Aren't you amazed?
Oh, yes, I am.
Did you think you'd come to church and see witchcraft? All right, give Rose a hand. All right, so that was fun. Now, here's the difference between a magic trick and a prophecy, okay? There's three differences, and we're going to cover all three of them. But the first one is time. What do I mean by that? Well, when a magician does a trick where he predicts the future, okay, here's how it's done, all right? I'm going to tell you. It's one of two ways. Either he forces the person to pick what he already wrote down, or two, he discovers what they pick and he makes it look like he already wrote it down. Now, you know I wrote it down because you could see through, right? All right? But it's either forcing or finding, okay? But here's the thing you need to know. For it to work, a magician has to be there when the prediction is made and when the reveal is made. Here's the difference. The Old Testament prophets, they wrote and then they died. And the prophecies were there in print to be seen by everybody, and they were fulfilled hundreds of years later. They couldn't have controlled the outcome. They couldn't have changed the prophecy. It was there. So there's no way they could have brought the prophecy about. Now, some people say this, maybe it was Jesus who manipulated things and he purposely worked things to fulfill prophecy. You ever think of that? Huh? Well, here's the problem with that. Now it is true that he did purposely fulfill some prophecy. He knew that the Messiah had to ride a donkey into Jerusalem. So guess what he did? He purposely rode a donkey into Jerusalem, right? Peter takes out a sword and he starts fighting, and Jesus says, Peter, put your sword away. How else will the scriptures be fulfilled? So he did purposely bring about some of the prophecies, but he couldn't have brought about all of them. You know why? A lot of them were about his birth. How does a baby in the womb, whose mother is living in a town called Nazareth, get born in Bethlehem, 90 miles south? He couldn't have controlled that. You know, another prophecy the Old Testament makes is that the Messiah had to be born of a very specific genealogy. Through a guy named Abraham, and he had two sons, but through his son Isaac, and then through his son Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons, and it had to come through Judah. And then from Judah, there had to be a line of kings, King David. And Jesus' genealogy traces all the way through that exact genealogy. There's no way a baby in the womb can pull that off. All right, that's a pretty good trick. Okay, the prophet Daniel prophesied that the Messiah's public ministry would start 483 years after King Artaxerxes told the Jews they could go back and build the temple. Okay? In fact, I don't think I'm following this, am I? Does that work? There we go. The prophet Daniel proclaimed that Israel's Messiah would begin his public ministry 483 years after the issuing of a decree to rebuild Jerusalem. Persia's King Artaxerxes issued that decree in 458 BC. 483 years later, the ministry of Jesus began in Galilee. How do you pull that off? Right? So, a magic trick involves a magician making a prediction and then revealing it to show that he knew what was going to happen. But he has to be there. The Old Testament prophets weren't there, okay? Let me show you a second difference between magic world and true, unexplainable prophecy. There's, first of all, the time span. Secondly, there's just the amount of prophecy. So I can do one or two tricks to predict the future, okay? But what about the amount of prophecies that were directed at Jesus or about Jesus, okay? One scholar, J. Barton Payne, has found as many as 574 verses in the Old Testament that somehow point to or describe or reference the coming of Messiah. Alfred Edersham found 456 Old Testament verses referring to the Messiah or his times. Now, not all of them are prediction fulfillment. Some of them are vague references, okay? But conservatively, scholars believe Jesus fulfilled at least 300 prophecies in his earthly ministry. So the complexity of all these prophecies happening in one person at one time is incomprehensible, okay? So let me try another little experiment making the point about intertwining complexities. So I am going to use a whiteboard. And now, Rose, who's this next to you?
My daughter, Diana.
Hi, Diana.
Hi.
Are you part of this whole gang over here? And this over here, very good. So can I pick on you?
Sure.
I won't make you come up here.
Okay.
So we're going to try something with numbers because of complexities and numbers and everything. And, oh, by the way, I am not good at math. Are you good at math?
Yes.
You're good at math. Okay. Well, I'm not good at math, but you know what I did? I found a guy. I was downtown Chicago, and he was selling math pills. So I traded the car. Sorry, dear.
As long as it's your car.
It was yours, okay. I don't recommend this for most things, okay? But I'm going to take a math pill, okay? They're minty fresh, okay? Now, what is it? It's not Rose, it's
Diana.
Diana, like the princess,
yes.
Right? This is my wife, Elizabeth, like the queen. All right, so I'm going to have you name a number between, it's got to be a two-digit number, so let's say between, say, 35 and 99. 52. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a grid. Whoop. Whoop. Voop. Feel free to voop along here. Okay. All right, 52. Okay. Now, is there any reason you picked 52?
It just came in my
head. It just popped into your head. Okay. Now, I am going to double up on math pills. Okay. And what these do is they send numbers rushing through my brain. Oh, yeah. So I'm just going to kind of like randomly just start filling in some. Are you getting these numbers too?
Yes.
Are you getting the same one? Okay. I don't know why these are popping into my brain here. You getting some of those? Okay. 9, a 6. All right. You know, I'm getting a 10, a 5, I think a 4, and a 33. Okay. Now, Diana, what was your number?
52.
Now, some of you, who's good at math? Just somebody good at math. Annika, okay, so. All right, Annika, 8 plus 11, 19 plus 32, 51 plus 1, 52. 31 plus 2, plus 7, plus 12, 52. 3 plus 34, plus 9, plus 6, 52. 10, 5, 4, 33 equal. But wait, there's more. Let's do 8 plus 31, plus 3, plus 10, 52. Let's do this one. 32 plus 7, plus 9, plus 4, 52. But wait. Let's do the diagonals, okay? 10 plus 34, plus 7, plus 1, 52. Let's do this one. 8 plus 2, plus 9, plus 33. Let's do the four corners. 8 plus 1, plus 33, plus 10. Let's do the four in the middle. 34 plus 9, plus 7, plus 2, 52. Okay. That was a good number, Diana. That was very impressive, yeah. Now, thank you, thank you. Now, here's the point. There's so much complexity here. I don't think it was really just random numbers. I think there was like an intelligent person doing some stuff behind the scenes making this work. Don't you think so? Was it?
It was the pills.
It was the pills. Likewise. All these prophecies that Jesus fulfilled were not just random, okay? All right, so now, one last point that I want to make, and that is very similar to this point, and that is, here, want some math pills? Okay.
Sure.
Don't take too many. I take those before I do my taxes. All right. We got so much back this year because of that. All right. The last thing is the odds. The odds of one person being able to be the fulfillment of all these prophecies is astronomical. Okay, now there's a mathematician named Peter Stoner, and he wrote a book called Science Speaks. And now, I honestly don't know how you calculate these odds, but he said the likelihood of a person fulfilling just 8 of the major prophecies would be, oh, look at that, 1 in 10 to the, it should be 17th power. Put a 17 on there. So that's 1 in 10 with 17 zeros behind it, okay? Now, it depends on the prophecies you're picking, like being born in Bethlehem or being the descendant of this line. Some of the prophecies are like being born of a virgin. You know what the odds are of being born of a virgin? 0, right? Or the odds of dying and resurrecting from the dead, like Isaiah 53 predicts. 0 if there isn't a God making this all happen. But he picked 8 kind of random prophecies and calculated out what the odds were of this all happening. And it's 10 to the 17th power. Now, some people go, well, I just guess Jesus beat the odds, right? But I want to show you that we don't think that way. In fact, can I have a, I gotta erase this. Does anybody have a bottle of Windex and a, Oh, look at that. A wipey diapy. Is it wet?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, it does work. Okay. You know what I want to do? But I won't do that. That would be so gross to do at church. If this were at the Comedy Vault, I would do it, though. Boy, is that ugly. Okay, now, here, I've tried this before. It didn't work. We're going to try it again. But I need three people who have a credit card with them. All right, three people with a credit card. Rose and Diana, they're going right for the purse over there. Okay. I want your PIN. Okay, Christine, you have a credit card. Very good. I need somebody else with a credit card. Okay, let's pick people. Let's pick people that there's no way that you guys in the middle back there. One of you guys have a credit card? Yeah, you got. Yes, you. You have a credit card. Do you have a credit card next to? She, yeah. What do you got? Okay, and Christian,
Tim.
Where's Christian? Christian's over here. Okay. So here's what I want you guys to do. Do like Christine's doing. Stand up. Give them a big hand because they're like risking it all. Tim, I want you to pick a set of four numbers, but try not to have a zero in there. You got them? All right, what are your four numbers? 3, 2, 9, 7. Now don't switch on me, okay? All right. And then what's your name? Chloe. Do you have Visa, MasterCard? What is it? The Visa? Okay. Can you pick four? What do you got? 5983. Okay, 5983. Okay. And Christine, you have a four-digit number picked out?
Yes.
What do you got?
1674.
1674. That's my phone number. No, it's not. What are the odds of that happening, right? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to have you scramble your numbers up, and I'm going to make four three-digit numbers, okay? So I'm going to have you each name a number, and once you name that number, you tick it off. We're done with it, and then we're going to go back again and pick another number, and then go back another time and pick another number, okay? You understand what I'm saying here? Yes, you do. All right, but I have to make a prediction. And I've learned to hide it. Whoop. All right, so here's my prediction. And I'm going to put this right here. All right, so Tim, give me a number. 1, 3?
Yeah.
All right. Chloe? 3. Christine?
4.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask you for another number, but you can't say the one that you've already used. Okay, you got another one, Tim? 2. Chloe?
9.
Christine?
7.
Okay, Tim?
9.
What'd you say?
5.
Christine?
1.
1. And now your last number?
7.
7.
8.
4.
4.
Okay. Now, this is random, right? I mean, we could have picked different people. We could have picked different credit cards. You could have picked different set of four numbers. Then we had you rearrange them all, right? Crazy, right? So let's see. Annika. 7 plus 4 plus 1 plus 4. And we're going to carry the 1. Okay. 8 plus 5 plus 9 plus 3 plus 1. What? Is it? It might not work. 7 plus 9 plus 2 plus 3 plus 2. What? 23. All right. That's an 8. And I'm not a prophet, all right? But 2, 3, 6, 8. A small spattering of applause, all right? Thanks, you guys. All right, so here's the point. The Old Testament prophets said a Messiah was going to come. They identified him by saying he'd be born in this town. He would come from this line. He would die. He would rise from the dead. And Jesus came and fulfilled all of that. What does it mean for us? It means God is omniscient. It means God is sovereign. It means Scripture is inspired. It means Christ is the Messiah, and the gospel is true. What's the gospel? Why did he come? Well, he came as a little baby to grow up and to live a perfect life in your place. And then to die on the cross in your place. Why? Because we as sinners deserve condemnation and death. But God in his love sent his son as our substitute to live in our place and to die in our place. And the beauty of the gospel is this. Jesus says, come to me, admit you're a sinner. Bow your knee to me as your Lord. Trust in me. I will forgive your sins, and you will have eternal life. That's why we celebrate Christmas. All right? So let me pray, and we will end with one last song together. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you not only came and died and rose, but you validated that you are who you claimed to be by giving us the Old Testament prophecies and fulfilling all of them. Lord, thank you for dying, for rising, for offering forgiveness. You are the light of the world, and Lord, we place our confidence and our trust in you, and may you receive all the glory, not only today, but throughout Christmas and then throughout the rest of eternity, as we are with you because of what you've done for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.